Well, having crossed the 50-year-old threshold a couple of years ago, now I am finding myself taking more pills than I ever have before. Anybody else taking more pills than they want to? Yes. And I think that the television networks know this. And so they market us more pills to add to our pills. You've heard those commercials, you know, the ones with smiling people going about their business, and then they list all the side effects, like you can cure your toenail fungus. It might kill you, but at least your toenail fungus will be gone. The commercials encourage you to ask your doctor about this. Now, that's interesting, given the fact that your doctor has enough trouble getting you to take the pills you already are supposed to take and to exercise and eat well and do all the other stuff that's supposed to actually keep you alive. Yes, go ask your doctor about this. I'm sure doctors love these commercials. And a lot of these pills, though, have to do with love. Love of the physical variety, like the little blue pill, or the one that apparently has the side effect of making adults sit in separate bathtubs. I don't know why, but there it is. These love pills may be the ultimate happy pills for some who want to be ready when the time is right. But there's no guarantee that they will actually enhance your relationship or make you into a better person than you were before you took them. I mean, wouldn't it be great if there was a drug that did that? That you could take a drug and it would make you a better person? Maybe a drug like this one.
Do you lack basic human compassion? Do the people around you mean nothing to you? Millions of Americans go through their day-to-day life with a complete and total disregard for their fellow human being. They lack basic emotions like compassion and empathy. They have no commiseratio, a condition that is untreatable and miserable to go through life with. Until now. Now there's Splendida, a little red pill that can give you back your compassion and empathy and make you an acceptable person to be around. Splendida resets the dopamine levels in your brain from pro-magnet to home safety. And you can feel the energy.
Now y'all are clapping because you're like, that would be awesome, wouldn't it? If I could just, you know, on that day when everything's going bad, if I could just pop some Splendida, and there it would be. Well, actually, this is beginning to happen. I don't know if you saw this article in Time Magazine about a new drug that is being developed. It's actually in the research stage where research has produced a love drug that just might make you a more compassionate, more loving, and more empathic person. It's a long way from being on the market, but scientists have discovered that this drug, when you take it, it prolongs the presence of dopamine in your brain, which is the chemical that rewards satisfaction. And it actually can make a person more compassionate, more predisposed to equalize the difference between people. So the researchers got 35 people together, and they gave them each a pill. Half of them had, I don't know how you split 35, but half of them had the, that's what it says, I'm just telling you. If I can do math better than Time Magazine, we got a problem. So they gave half the group this pill, this dopamine enhancer, and the other half a placebo. And then they gave each of them some money and a stranger in front of them. And so they had to share the money with a stranger. And what they found was that those who took the pill, the real pill, were more likely to give half the money to the stranger, while those who only took the placebo kept most of the money for themselves. So the upshot is that by altering the chemical in your brain, it can make you a more generous, compassionate people. Now, of course, there would never be any nefarious use of this particular drug, right? When I first read about this, I thought, this is the kind of thing a James Bond anti-villain would be all about, right? If I could just give out these pills, people would be just give me money over and over again as a stranger. But here's the thing. Do we really need another pill? Especially one that makes us into what God created us to be in the first place? As Paul tells the Thessalonian church, you don't need anyone to write to you or write a prescription, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. In fact, in this week's text, Paul prays for the church. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, just as we abound in love for you. Love and compassion are best enhanced by a relationship with God. In fact, Paul offers us what I think is a kind of formula in this passage for the kind of Christian love pill that requires no water to take other than the water of baptism, and there are no debilitating side effects. It's the kind of love and compassion that's unleashed when a community of faith prioritizes love of God and love of one another in such a way that it cannot help but treat strangers as equals and give our love and resources to them equitably as well. Now, a little background here. Paul's writing to a Thessalonian church that has been ill-treated by the surrounding culture, just as Paul himself had been. If you read Acts 16 and 17, you kind of get the sequence of where Paul is when he writes the letter. He has been in Philippi, and if you know that story, Paul gets in trouble in Philippi, gets beaten up and thrown in prison again until he reveals that he is a Roman citizen and is given a different treatment. And so he goes from there on to Thessalonica, and then from Thessalonica goes somewhere else. But after leaving Thessalonica, he sends someone back to check on them, because he's concerned that the same persecution that was overtaking him would overtake them. And so we learn here in 1 Thessalonians that Timothy had come back to Paul with a surprising report. They weren't struggling. They were actually thriving. That their love for one another was a joy. Chapter 3, verse 6. Timothy had just been there, and he returned to Paul with the good news of their faith and love. Despite the apparent dis-ease of their situation, they had become inoculated by the love of God and for others and had been able to stand firm in the Lord. And so you have to ask, what was the chemical makeup of that? How did they do that? And the question for us is, how do we do that in a culture that becomes increasingly more difficult to be a Christian in? How do we live that kind of love? Well, I want to argue that there are three ingredients here, part of this love concoction, this love pill, that Paul talks about in this passage, that I think if we zero in on these, we will have a much more better predisposition to have compassion and love for strangers and even for our enemies. The first of these ingredients is encouragement. It's clear from the text that Paul and Timothy and the others have been giving constant encouragement to the Thessalonians, not only encouraging them to stand firm in faith and mission, but also to persist in love no matter what. Verses 6 and 7, "You became imitators of us and of the Lord," writes Paul, "for in spite of persecution, you received the word with joy, inspired by the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers." The key to cultivating the kind of love that withstands the virus of hatred is to imitate someone who is demonstrating that love authentically and compassionately to all. Someone who encourages you by word and example. Paul spent time with the Thessalonians. He sent someone to check on them, to encourage them. And then he writes to them again with thanksgiving for the example that they were now setting for others, both friends and enemies. They were learning to be encouragers because they had first been encouraged. You know, we live in a culture of critique where everyone is complaining about something. All you have to do is go online and you will see this. You read any article, read the comments that come after. Look at what people post on social media, on Facebook and places like that. We are a culture that is now vitriolic. I mean, this week, you know, with the Supreme Court decision, we had all kinds of stuff coming out on social media. You got the rainbow people and the non-rainbow people, and they're firing stuff back and forth at one another over this whole deal. But imagine if the church and the people of God said, we're not going to participate in that kind of stuff anymore. Instead, we're going to be a people of encouragement. That rather than looking at everything that's wrong with the world, and we're pretty aware of that, we look for where God is at work and what is right with the world and encourage that growth in other people. Imagine if everyone who follows Christ made it his or her mission in every word and in every post to offer encouragement to someone else. After all, we are called to share the what news? Good news. And we got to stop dealing so much in bad news, because ultimately God says the good news is what overcomes the bad news. In order to have this kind of love of God flow naturally out of us, we need someone to show us what it looks like and encourage our growth. I mean, think about it. Toward whom do people naturally gravitate? Do you naturally gravitate toward your critics? I mean, how many of you have ever read a post on Facebook or anything that was negative, that was against your position, and you went, oh, now I understand. I'm changing my entire mind. How many of you have done that? Nobody. Nobody has ever said, yes, I'm changing my mind completely. But who do we gravitate toward? Those who encourage us, those who give us a word of love, those who want to build us up. The question is, can we be that kind of people? We can disagree, but can we disagree agreeably in a way that demonstrates the love of Christ to someone else? As Paul says elsewhere in his letters, so far as it depends on you, live at peace with others. So far as it depends on you, live at peace. We tend to learn a lot more from those who encourage us rather than those who critique us constantly. When we imitate an encourager, we tend to draw people to us who need encouragement. I know in my life, I've had a stable of people over the course of my life who have been encouragers to me. A large reason why I am the person who I am. And I'm still looking for those who are encouraging. And then in turn, I want to encourage others to grow and be the people God called them to be. Who encourages you? And then in turn, who around you might you encourage? Encouragement via imitation is a key to maintaining healthy disciples of Jesus Christ. Second ingredient is thanksgiving. Now, we tend to think of Thanksgiving once a year, usually around turkey and stuffing. But everyday Thanksgiving is one of the key ingredients to becoming people of love and compassion. Paul thanks the Thessalonians for all the joy we feel before our God because of you. Verse 9. Have you ever gotten a card like that? Wouldn't that be great to receive that card? I'm thankful for all the joy we feel before our God because of you. The discipline of giving thanks to God and giving thanks to and for others leads us to see them differently. We are more likely to treat someone with love and compassion if we know how much love and compassion we have received from someone else. Just like we are more likely to forgive if we recognize how much we have been forgiven by God. I think that's why Jesus links those two things in the Lord's Prayer, which we say every week. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Thankfulness says we receive and we give thanks and then we offer in return. It's not a pill, but think of it as kind of a Thanksgiving therapy that strengthens our ability to see others as God sees us. Can we be thankful in all things? Thankful to the people who do little things for us each day that we may not even know about. Thankful for the person who opens the door for us. Thankful for the person who is kind to us in the grocery store line. Let us be a people of thanksgiving, encouragement. I love that Jimmy Fallon does thank you notes on the Tonight Show every Friday night. I love Jimmy Fallon. He's hilarious. And the thank you notes are a little bit silly. You know, like he'll say, thank you, pita bread, for being a great combination between wheat and envelopes. Or, thank you, emergency row on the airplane, for making me lie every time the flight attendant asks me if I can function in case of an emergency. But I like the fact that he's kind of brought the thank you note back into the public eye. The discipline of saying thank you is a way for us to remember how much we have received as we think about what we are being called then to give in return. Thankful people tend to be more compassionate people. Encouragement, thanksgiving, and the third ingredient of this particular love pill is prayer. Verse 10, Paul and his companions prayed night and day for the Thessalonian church. And not just casually, it says they prayed earnestly. And no doubt the church was praying equally earnestly for Paul and his companions. Prayer is an essential ingredient for the life of love and compassion because it brings us before God on behalf of someone else. We ask God to act, to encourage, to strengthen, to heal. And then we go out and we work for what we pray for. We pray that God would restore whatever is lacking in the faith and wholeness of others, even our enemies. And when we do so, we cannot help but be more disposed in compassion toward them. We pray that God might strengthen their hearts in holiness, that they may be blameless before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints, as Paul says in verse 13. Praying for others is a discipline that God uses to reorient our posture toward them. Yeah, I've been reading a lot about this week, and I think it's interesting that we all in this culture talk about the position we take on a particular issue, whereas the gospel and the scriptures talk a lot more about the posture which we take toward others, regardless of their position. The posture that we take is one of prayer. Because when I'm praying for someone, even someone who may be my enemy, it is harder for me to hate them. I think this is why Jesus taught us to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us. When I do that, I begin to see them as people whom God loves, as well as my orientation toward them becomes less about me and more about what God might be up to in their lives. After all, we're Methodists, right? Right? We don't get more Methodist than we do here. I would someone tell you this week, I'm leaving the church because we're not Methodist enough. I'm like, well, good luck. You know, because I don't know too many churches that are more Methodist than this one, but we believe in prevenient grace. The prevenient grace of God that goes before, that's reaching out to everyone all the time. And all we do is participate where God is already at work in someone's life. And one of the ways that we do that is through our prayer. Prayers of the righteous are effective. Can we pray for those who may not be like us? Can we pray to ask God to show us where he is at work already in someone's life? When I do that, I begin to see people as people made in the image of God, whom God loves. And my orientation becomes less about me and more about what God is already up to. Daily prayer is a discipline that gets me outside of myself and gives me a different vision of the world through the eyes of Christ. And if you take these three ingredients, encouragement, thanksgiving, and prayer, and you combine them together, you've got a recipe for a love drug that is much stronger than anything a scientist can manufacture with a mortar and pestle. In fact, some studies have shown that there is a direct connection between prayer, which includes thanksgiving and encouragement as we pray for others. There's a connection physiologically between prayer and the release of more dopamine in your brain. Maybe we should call it the prayer drug. Prayer increases our dopamine. It stimulates feelings of reward and satisfaction and compassion. And when you read 1 Thessalonians, you get the idea that Paul is kind of having a dopamine rush as he is writing to this church whom he loves. What would happen if we devoted ourselves to that kind of encouragement, that kind of thanksgiving and prayer? Encouragement, thanksgiving, and prayer for the people we encounter every day, even those who may be hostile to us. After all, when Jesus told us to love our enemies, he also told us that this is one of the ultimate demonstrations of perfect love. We're Methodists. We believe in Christian perfection. That's what Paul means. That's what Wesley meant by Christian perfection, that we love so completely that even our enemies are someone that we love. Perfect love. You know, today, this afternoon, we're going to have our church picnic there in the park. And people are going to come. We've been praying for people to come to the picnic. And it's always amazing to me, we did this a couple years ago, free community picnic. We've been advertising it all over the place. And people come to the picnic and they go, what's the catch? You know, because usually Christians do a bait and switch, right, where we're going to offer you some food, but in return, you have to listen to the Jesus sales pitch, right? That's how we've normally done these things. But when we say to them, no, this is just a gift, we're not used to seeing gifts with no strings attached. But you know what a gift with no strings attached is? It's love. So I hope you'll be there today, because today is an awesome opportunity for us to practice what Paul talks about here. Encouragement, thanksgiving, prayer. Love. Let's demonstrate it together. You know, science will keep coming up with ways to try to enhance our lives through better chemistry. But the reality is that some things just don't need a pill. Thanks be to God. I've had enough. They simply require some discipline and encouragement. And the side effects are awesome. Let's pray. God, we give you thanks for all that you have done for us. For the fact that you love us and encourage us even when we are wayward children. We pray, God, that you would help us to live into this kind of love. To be a people of encouragement. To be thankful in all things, and to pray without ceasing. In a world that is increasingly divided and broken, where people launch critique after critique, help us to be different, to reflect your love and peace, that all might come to know you and your saving grace. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.